And then I started a short story prize because I was like, I think we need some more underrepresented writers. And I was like, this is cool. And then I was like, cool, stuff isn't happening fast enough. So I was kind of always like, this is great, but like, I'm sure there's more that I could do to help. And I was like, maybe I should just try writing and see how I get on, because I know I hear a lot of stories and I tell a lot of stories. And so like, what if I just tried to put that to paper? And I wrote Queenie, and it really was kind of as simple as like, I wrote it, submitted it to an agent. One agent said, this is amazing. One agent said, this isn't funny or good at all. And I was like, that's cool, because I have an agent. So actually, don't worry about it. Thanks for everything.
And that is today's guest on Naked with Carrie Champion, Candace Accardi Williams. She's an author, a screenwriter, a showrunner. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of Naked, y'all. Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. AT&T Connects, an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion, that girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to a new edition of Naked. Before I dive into our guest today, I know I mentioned who she is, but before I dive into our guest today, it's really kind of apropos. Our guest is from the UK. She's from London. In personal news, I went to Paris this past week to see Dawn Staley and the South Carolina basketball team take on the Notre Dame team. It was the first time in the history of women's collegiate basketball or women's sport, I think, on the collegiate level, that a home opener was done overseas, and it was to do a few things. One, to make history, or herstory as I like to say. Two, to set the tone for what the women's game could be, because if we are across the pond or in Europe and they love to watch women's basketball, just imagine what happens when it grows more and more, including the WNBA. So I thought it was a really special time. But I mentioned that to you guys just, yes, for conversation purposes. Shout out to Don Staley, who made that happen. But while I was standing there talking to some people during the game, a young lady walked up to me. True story, guys. True story. I was so surprised. And she was like, "Are you Carrie Champion?" And she was saying it in her French accent. And it was hard for me to really understand her. And I thought that maybe she was a huge sports fan. I knew that's where we were about to go. And I said, "Yes, I am. How are you?" And she said to me, "I listen to your podcast every single week. I'm a huge fan of Naked. I can't tell you how much it means to me to talk to you." She was like, "I just listened to this past episode," and she's naming episodes and what they mean to her and how powerful they are. And I'm really blown away, because it's rare where people say, "I listen to your podcast all the time," because that's how I know you, as opposed to, "I've seen you on this TV show," or "I loved you on ESPN," or whatever it may be. My podcast, and not to say that my podcast is not amazing, but it's usually not what people lead with. So here is this young lady, and she is talking to me, and she is so legitimately excited to share with me what she loves about the podcast. And I thought, if someone is listening all over the world, this is perfect to know, because you don't understand what you're doing. And this is a shout out to the team. It's a shout out to everybody that I work with at Black Effect, Dwayne, and obviously Jacquees. It's just a little bit of love to let you know that what we're doing is being heard, and in many instances making a difference. She led with, you know, "We don't have a lot of strong representation of unapologetic Black women, you know, in France, and I have that with you." It was really an emotional moment for me. I held it together, y'all, because y'all know I'm a crybaby. But the reality was that I thought it was beautiful. And so with that being said, it felt, and I knew this, we were doing this podcast already, but it felt very apropos to have another young Black woman in another country on the podcast today, after I had just received that beautiful message from that young lady. And so I say this to today's guest. She is unafraid. I think that some of her theories are revolutionary. Like, she doesn't believe Black women should subscribe to the idea that they have to be strong all the time. And the older I get, I lean into that. Soft girl life loading. I lean into that. Her reasonings may be different from mine, but I do believe that we as Black women should practice more vulnerability. I think that makes us better. In fact, even more strong, if you will. And yes, we can do it all, but should we have to? Damn it. No. The other idea is this. My guest, who is an author, a showrunner, a writer, wrote this novel, Queenie. And Queenie has been really praised all over the world. It's about a 25-year-old young girl who loses everything that matters. And really, I mean, in terrible traumas, miscarriage, loses her job, her home, you name it. And the thing about Queenie is that she doesn't date Black men. And I asked Candace today, our guest on Naked, why? And she said, and she tells her reasonings as to why. And it would offend some, I'm sure, but it's her truth. And so today, I want us to just listen to the pod, because she is an acclaimed writer, producer, and a showrunner. Queenie, when it came on the scene in 2019, received high praise, along with her two subsequent novels. Now, Candace is working in television, along with still writing, but working in television on a project called Champion, which we'll be able to see on Netflix at the top of January. And she's also taking Queenie, this book that really put her on the map, and she's developing it into an 8-episode series. She says the difference, though, between Queenie in 2019 and Queenie today is that she does have relationships, good, positive relationships with Black men, and she's updated that character. I find it fascinating. I mean, I find it absolutely fascinating how she explains her experience, her writing, and what she presents to the world in a very unafraid way. Sit back, relax, and listen to this edition of Naked. All right. Thank you so much for being here today. So just by way of background on Naked, I just asked conversational questions. I'm really curious about the story of still believing in dreams and achieving dreams, which I think we all have. That's what makes the world go round. And I want to begin with the idea of being a writer. That profession, when it's not really formulated, maybe in inception, in junior high school, in high school, when you're younger, how do you know when you're young, this is what I want to do, before you can really ascertain yourself writing novels and being a television showrunner?
You know, writing was never an ambition of mine because I didn't think it was attainable. I kind of assumed it was for other people, and my job would always be to read. So I know that I loved books when I was growing up, and I loved TV so much. Like I would sort of sneak watch TV, and I would sneak read books. Like it was just 24/7. Like that was part of my life, just like constantly consuming things people had written. And I was really happy with that. And when I left university, I saw that a friend's girlfriend works in publishing, and I was like, wait, hold on, what? Yeah, of course it's a job. And I was like, how did you get that job? And she was like, well, I just did an internship. And I was like, oh. So I got into publishing, where I was surrounded by books, and I was like, okay, this is great, this is cool. And then I started a short story prize because I was like, I think we need some more underrepresented writers. And I was like, this is cool. And then I was like, cool, stuff isn't happening fast enough. So I was kind of always like, this is great, but like, I'm sure there's more that I could do to help. And I was like, maybe I should just try writing and see how I get on, because I know I hear a lot of stories and I tell a lot of stories. And so like, what if I just tried to put that to paper? And I wrote Queenie, and it really was kind of as simple as like, I wrote it, submitted it to an agent. One agent said, this is amazing. One agent said, this isn't funny or good at all. And I was like, that's cool, because I have an agent. So actually, don't worry about it. Thanks for everything. and then I am suddenly kind of, I can't really describe it. I just sort of, I looked back when I think last year, I'm 34 now. I looked back and I was like, hold on a minute. I've been writing nonstop for 9 years. I just haven't looked around. I haven't thought about anything else that I want to do. So that project to project kind of snuck up on me. And I never even had the chance to kind of, like, it feels like this is what I can do, and I can do it best. I can do it very well. I love the feeling of writing. Everything else around it is very difficult. But the writing itself, I feel like this is the thing that I didn't know that I could do, but I can do.
What do you mean everything around it is difficult? Everything around writing is difficult?
So when the book comes out, you've got to publicize it, which is, for some people, they love it. And I didn't realize some people love it. Like, I've got so many friends who were like, oh, the paperback of my poetry collection is coming out. I'm having a big party and I'm going to do speeches and readings and performances. And I'm like, what? When my paperback comes out, I'm like, it's fine. It's out. I'm not someone who likes public speaking or kind of any type of speaking. So, I mean, this is great. This is nice. But you know what I mean? Like, some people actually love it, and that, and it's their job and they're really amazing at it. But for me, I'm a bit like, the work is the work. There we go. Enjoy the work, you know?
The work is the work. Enjoy the work. It's interesting because I call that the accoutrements of everything else that comes with having a project or doing something that you love. That's the extra that you have to do to sell it. So I agree, depending on your interpersonal and intrapersonal skills, it can be more work than necessary, right? The creative aspect. How do you, when you were writing Queenie, and for our listeners, this book is world acclaimed. It, as she mentioned, one person said it wasn't funny. One agent said it wasn't. Another one said it was. I love those moments when we make everybody wrong. I love it. And it took off and everyone loved it. It's about a young woman in her 20s, something, 25, I believe. And she loses everything that matters to her, or what someone would think would matters. Home, miscarriage, relationships, all the things that you aspire to have. And there she has it at 25 years old. And you're able to tell this story with humor. Where did you draw inspiration for Queenie?
Queenie is kind of, I can't explain, but Queenie's personality is kind of, it's a bit mine and a bit other people's. Her situations are very different to mine. But I've obviously written another novel, I've written People Person, and that is like five different characters. So I love writing characters, writing people. But Queenie is the person who's closest to me in that she, I guess, handles things the way that I would handle things. But she's not as smart as me. She's not as sharp as me. But also because Queenie is, she's like a few years younger than me, technically. So I'm kind of like, this is like a little sister version of me, if that makes sense. So, yeah, sure. Yeah, her voice feels, I actually started rereading it yesterday because I'm about to write another novel. You could probably put two and two together. And I was like, have to remind myself like what it's like listening to her and what she talks like and like how she engages with people. And I was like, aha, this is funny because I hadn't been able to read. That's the first time I've been able to read it since I wrote it.
That's beautiful. You just said something, I'm sorry, that just made me want to ask yet again another question. You said she's the younger, maybe a younger sister, and you draw inspiration from different people. What do you think resonated with so many people? Was it the humor or was it the vulnerability?
So what I understand, because I still get messages to this minute from people being like, oh my God, I just read it and it's done this, that, and the other, which is amazing. It's like, that's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is being like, are people so less lonely? Because most people say like, yeah, it's funny, but also they just can't believe that there is someone that could be this messy. Because we had a lot of sort of black female protagonists who were not, they have to be strong and they have to be confident and they have to handle everything and be able to shout people down. And actually a lot of the time when I was writing, these protagonists were not written by black women. Do you know what I mean? These women were written by other who had decided this is what a black woman is and this is what she'll represent. And I think that Queenie comes from a real place and people can tell that, because I don't shy away from the things that black women find hard, find difficult, find exposing. They're real, you know, and I'd say it how I see it. Kind of.
So we have to pay bills. You know, we have to do this. Fast forward. If you don't want to fast forward, listen to the voices of iHeartRadio and learn something about some advertising. Back in a minute.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked.
Everybody, welcome back to Naked. I have screenwriter, showrunner, and author Candace Carter-Williams on Naked. I read that you don't believe that the strong Black woman, you feel like that trope is not necessarily fair. You don't believe in that. And I can relate to that in so many ways. And I think that the idea, and even if I went trendy, like social media trendy, the idea of soft girl life loading, I'm hearing so many people saying that. And I embrace that because I have said this as a woman of means and accomplished all the things. I'm like, I'm tired. And so therefore, this might not be the story that you want to sell to everyone. What made you realize that so early on in life?
So when I was 23, I got really ill. I wasn't able to leave the house. I was anxious all the time. I was having panic attacks. Felt absolutely terrible. And I realized this was because I'd been told from a very young age, you have to be strong. And I was like, this is where being strong has got me. I cannot do anything by myself. So I was in the house maybe for about 2 years and like going to like the news agent to get like a bottle of water. That was like the goal I set for myself for the week, you know? And I realized this because I was holding so much trauma and so much pain because I'd been encouraged by my family and I talk to them about this often to just never let it out. You just have to bury it. And I'm just not built like that. And I had to, eventually be like, you guys might be built like that, but I'm not built like that. I'm sensitive. Like I need like to be looked after. I'm a baby, you know? And it took me a long time to be like, okay, cool. What's vulnerability? What's vulnerability to you? What does it feel like? How far can you go? And I have like still kind of, I've still had the same set of really close friends that I've had since I was in my 20s. And they know everything. They know sort of like my feelings, my pain, my triumph, my happiness. And they have recognized that in the last 10 years, I've gone from being like, no, I'm fine, to being like, can I speak to you because I don't feel okay, you know?
Yeah.
And that took a long time. It took a long time to even feel comfortable saying, can I speak to you because I don't feel okay? Well, even not let alone like saying what the problem was, you know?
I applaud that, and that takes, to me, that's strong. You know, that the strength is in the vulnerability, and when you release that, did you find yourself getting more and more healthy physically, mentally?
Physically, yes, and mentally, I guess I'm kind of the strongest that I've been, and that's because I don't let things sit anymore. And people that work with me, so obviously I've been show running for a couple of years now. I did a TV show called Champion that came out on BBC in July, and it's going to be on Netflix globally in January, which I'm very excited about. I found out today.
Congratulations.
Well, I get to see it. That was a very difficult job. That was sort of music and TV combined. And the same with Queenie, adapting that for TV now. Very difficult, very difficult. And I have to say to people, stop doing this. I don't like this, but what really, what's going on? And I was never doing that before. And I was ill. I was sick. My body was hurting. I was in pain. And now I'm just kind of like, guys, what's happening? What's going on? And people are a bit like, oh, because they don't expect a black woman to be able to be assertive. Lest we get told that we're angry. But I don't care about that. If I'm angry, I'm angry. That's okay. Do your job properly. And I feel much better for having done that. But also, that was years of therapy. I've been seeing the same therapist for 4-5 years now. And also acupuncture. And so I had to also, it's not enough just to be sort of vulnerable. You also have to take such care of your mind in that time. And therapy has been like the biggest thing for me. Obviously in Queenie, she tells her grandma she's going to a therapist and her grandma is like, well, no, I don't think so. Which is obviously a very Caribbean response. My grandma was quite similar. But now actually she's really leaned into it and she's like, how is your talking going? And you're so feeling better, which is really nice. So I would say that the biggest thing is that you have to let it out because otherwise it will just sit and it will just consume you and it is physically painful. I can't even imagine doing that anymore. Do you know what I mean?
You say something that I think registers a lot. Most of us, when we are in positions, such as a showrunner, that's a powerful position and you have to be, and what, it's precious. What you are giving out to the viewer is precious and it should be precious because it has your name on it and it is your project and you are entitled, in my opinion, to feel whatever way you want to feel if the job isn't being executed properly. And you said something that I think is also key in addition to doing that. Don't feel bad about being honest. Now, that is the work. Feeling bad about being honest about people, telling people the truth is the work. You went on to, and I was going to get into your two shows. Congratulations. That's huge. It's a huge deal. The SAG strike is over. That's huge. So everything is great. I love all of this for you. But I want to talk about the other two books that you have written. In the process of writing those books, did you feel like you had to match Queenie?
So I wrote, yes. So there's the short, the novella, which is for young adults. That's Empress Nanaya. That one, it was small and it was sort of like a big burst of energy. And it was 20,000 words that I wrote, I think in about 10 hours because I was like, right, I'm ready. Let me just write the story. I know what I need to do. And I write in a very sort of intense burst, like all the time. And that was really nice because I got to talk to young people and I got to say to that, you know, like young kids, like, it's okay if like, you're like poor and your friends are really rich and you're kind of in this world, you don't understand things. And then people person. So that was, if it's young adult, you're like, I can't swear and I can't talk about sex. So it's never going to be like Queenie. So actually it's quite freeing because you could just, what are teens like? What did I like when I was 15? And even talk about boys, like boys were kind of just like a whatever. And then with people person, I'd written another novel straight off the back of Queenie. And it was about like the strong friend and it was about her friendship groups and it was about like what it meant. And I was like, I wasn't really vibing with it. So I was like, I'm going to start again. So I'm going to start again. And in lockdown, I lived by myself. One day I was just like, no, I'm going to do it. What am I going to do? And I spoke to my big sister. And I was like, I need to write another novel, but I don't know what to write about. Cause I'm very impulsive, even with work. Like if something isn't working, I'll just throw it out and start again. I know that I have like a limited story. So I'm like, okay, it's cool. And then we got into like another topic and she kind of, something we were talking about, maybe a TV show. And I was like, oh, what would you and my other sort of half siblings do if, something happened to me or like someone tries to kidnap me or something? And she was like, well, we'd all handle it. And I was like, what? She was like, don't ask any more questions. It would just be handled. And I was like,
yeah,
that's powerful and scary. And I believe her. And then what if that happened in a novel? And then I was like, wait, because no one talks about half siblings, like what that relationship is like really. I've never read that. And then I was like, well, what? I spoke about the mum so much in Queenie, but what does the father mean? Like, what does that wound mean? And so I was like, let's do it. And I didn't really feel that pressure of it not being Queenie because I was like, it just isn't. And until it's Queenie, it's kind of not that. And I know people like kind of expected Queenie or wanted Queenie, but I was like, if she comes back, we'll get her, you know, like it's like, but I wrote something that I really believed in and I really cared about. And I think with things like Queenie, I kind of have to, that's what it feels so, not heavy isn't the word, but it feels so important. And it feels like so many people see themselves in her. And I feel like that's not something that I can just do quickly or something that I can sort of put half of my mind on. That's something that really I have to like, for 5 years, kind of have to sort of like regroup and be like, what am I going to say? What have I experienced in 5 years that I think that people like me or people who are not like me or you, what can they take from it? And what can you and I read in it and be like, ah, so she went through that. I know what that feels like, you know?
Correct. I love that feeling of I'm not the only one. How would you, if you take, so now you're taking Queenie and you're making it, I believe it's an 8-episode series. Is that accurate?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so how do you put Queenie in 8 episodes? What do you find the most important? I know, right? Just like it sounds like such an incredible task. I do not envy. What do you find most important as you go into this process? For those who haven't even read the book, because there will be your new fans who watch the series and you think, well, this is clever. This is well written. This is this. I want to know more. What do you find that you need to give to them from the book? That's easily adaptable for television.
Yes, exactly. For me, it was about the key things in the book, like the key things that she goes through, the key people. So we have, her friends, which are really important. We have her family, who are super important. And then I've brought, in fact, it's so fun, I've brought a new character sort of forward. Because I listen to my readers and I really did. Also, when I'm a writer, when I'm on set, I'm such an active writer. So I like try and listen to like how they talk. And then as I move through drafts, you'll find that like I basically accommodated like the little ways you talk or as you move, little breaths that you take. They're really interested in people. And a lot of people were asking, why does Queenie not like black men? Like, what's that about? And I was like, well, it's kind of all there, but obviously it's too buried. So Cheske is her best friend, her cousin who is mentioned briefly, he has more of a role in this. And that was super fun because it was really nice to explore Queenie's relationship with black men in real time rather than kind of like an anecdote here or I remember when your cousin said this there. So it's bringing out all of the key things that kind of happened. So we have like Tom and like interracial relationships and what that meant. And we also have the men in her life, the people that don't treat her as well as she deserves to be treated. Yeah. And we have, I guess, like, it was about being like, what are those key moments and how can we make them as alive as we can for TV? But also, how can I, as a writer, how can I make sure that Queenie is sort of working as hard as she can in this time? Because she was written and published like 2017, written 2019 on the
right.
And coming out.
Me, that seems to be the most difficult. How do you make her relevant today?
I mean, this is the thing. The lucky thing is, it's kind of just like, how are we today? There is no mention of COVID. There's no mention of current affairs because it's like, COVID was a really dark time and I don't wish to immortalize it in my work. But it was really important to think about just like how young people are and how they speak and like listen to them. But I have like friends who are 25. And so I just listen to them and I'm like, what are you talking like? And Dion Brown, who plays Queenie, is 26 now, which was 25 when we started. And so I tried to keep it as that. And I'm kind of like, would you say that? And she's like, yeah, I'd say that. And so I'm like, all right, kind of, we've done it. And just making sure that the world around her is still reflective of what's happening. But, you know, we spoke about gentrification. We spoke about race. We spoke about sex. We spoke about how people are treated in the book. And those things are still applicable today. So,
yeah, you know, this is bold. You know, you're writing what you did, especially with Queenie, is such an, you know, it is a revolutionary act. And I say that not often, but I say it enough for people to just stop and take a moment. Why do you write a novel where a young black girl does not date black men?
So I wanted to talk about what it feels like when you have been let down by the black men in your life. And how that appears in adulthood and what that feels like and what it means. And I myself had been let down by all of the men in my life that around me, my dad, my mom's partner, my brothers, my granddad. I didn't have a positive male role model when I was growing up. And so I was like, I would find it very difficult and inauthentic to suddenly conjure up someone that I'd never met before. And I don't ever feel like I should write characters that I've never experienced, because I'm like, but how are they real? And obviously so many years have passed since writing the novel. And I have met and I've become close with so many Black men who are really kind and really loving and really caring and will look after me and will check in on me. And so I felt like I was able in 2022 to start writing this person who I had seen before and I had met before. But I can't write someone who doesn't exist, you know, in my life.
Not in your life. In your
right.
life.
Correct. Of course.
Were you worried about the pushback? Because some of your ideals, some of what you represent and say in the book are sometimes the complete opposite of what we have been taught culturally. Were you worried about people being angry with you for not having your main character date a Black man? Or were you worried about the idea that you didn't subscribe to the trope that Black women are supposed to be strong at all times? Did any of that make you feel uncomfortable, as in maybe am I betraying the culture with this?
No, I don't mind. I'm not afraid. The best thing for me is like having those debates with people and having those conversations. I'm a writer and I think my job is to provoke and also to listen. And I'm not afraid of my readers, because I'm grateful that you've engaged in the work. That's really exciting and that's really fun. But also, Queenie is a work of fiction, you know? So I'm kind of like, if I write a set of essays and I'm saying that, you know, Black men are terrible, and that you should date white men, then I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, I could always a backlash, but this is a story, you know. But also, people are able to, once I've written it and it's out there, it's yours, and you can say what you want and do what you want. I don't take things personally; it's work, and I'm really good at being like, anyway, the door's closed. I'm in my house now. That's work.
That was work. We did it. That went to work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. AT&T Connects, an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked with me.
How would you, if someone said, describe yourself as a writer in three words? That might be really difficult to do. But how would you do that?
How would I do that? I would say, I would probably say authentic, voracious. And I would say, not really unbothered, but I think unafraid, because I'm not really afraid of anything. I'm afraid of mice. Like, that's my biggest thing that I'm like, rodents. Like, I won't come to New York until they've sorted out this rat thing. I can't do it. It's too much. I've been too many times. But apart from that, I'm not really afraid of anything. I'm kind of like, this is, we're here on this earth one time. How can I be scared? Do you know what I mean? Like, how can I be scared to say what I feel? It's me. It's my life.
So it's safe to say that you won't be moving to New York because we don't like rodents.
No, I just can't. Yeah. It was my dream, you know. So Zadie Smith, who I think is such an incredible, she's so incredible. She's such an inspiration. She was obviously teaching in New York. And I was like, wait, I could do that maybe in like 10 years. Like, I could try and do that. And then like every time I came to New York, I was like, there's a rat, there's a rat, there's a rat. And I was like, I can't come back here. But there is a rat person sorting it out. So I'm like, let's see.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not for sure. I love you for that. I love your honesty. You're like, too many rats, won't do it. No, thank you.
No, sorry.
Unafraid, voracious, authentic. The same can apply to your new television show. Any concerns as you take Queenie from paper to film?
It's a very different kind of, you know, with a book, you are writing by yourself and you have an editor. And if for a TV show, you're writing with 10 execs. So it's different as well.
That's what you've learned. TV is a strange game. The strike is over as of last night. Did you, during this time, and I don't know how involved or not involved you were, but during this time, what were your thoughts on when the actors would be able to come to an agreement with the guild? What were some of the concerns you had?
I mean, the thing is, it's very different in the UK. We don't subscribe to it. And if I'd said I'm striking, they'd just be like, no, you aren't. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not. So I have loads of friends who are actors, and they found it very difficult because, you know, so much of the work is kind of, they get work in America. But for us, it was kind of like, we don't have, I mean, I wish we had Indian, you know, yeah. I wish we were interested, but we're not part of it.
You just said your BBC show went to Netflix. What about that when it comes to Netflix? What's in place for you there? Are you not affected by the commission that is given to you or the residuals, if you will?
No.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like the UK arm of things handles it. So, yes, we are not. And that was, it was difficult because, of course, there is such solidarity always. With writers, with actors, because I'm a writer, I have friends who are actors, and of course I shouldn't have to know someone to be affected by their struggle, you know, or to believe their struggle. But of course, like, if I could have down tools, I would, but it was just like, you can't, the show was still, you know, like everything was still open, everything was still going hand. So it was like,
cool. Oh, wow. You guys, fascinating.
You need, but amazing to see that everyone got what they need.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy for them. Everyone's working. It means just a lot of different, I need more content, if I'm being honest. I'm tired of flipping through the streaming services. I've been dying for more content. I now do have more content. Everybody listening, Champion.
Yes.
It's going to be released in January. That's right around the corner. It is about two rivaling siblings in a music competition. Can you share more?
Yes. So it's about, a brother and sister. The brother is a rapper and his sister is his long-suffering PA. She also has incredible musical talent, and it's revealed quite soon on, so it's not a spoiler, that she helps him with a lot of his lyrics. And she understands finally, she's kind of told by someone like, look, there's power in that. You should leverage it. And, you know, you want to be his manager. You want to get a bit of a name for yourself. Why don't you do that? And she's like, okay, cool. And she says to him, you know, let me be a manager, or I want to just go and do this music thing. And he's like, yeah, do it. Good luck. And then actually she's really incredible. And then the rivalry begins. It's so, had so much fun making it. We did it. We filmed it in Birmingham, which is like 3 hours north of London. And we also filmed it in Jamaica, which was
the dream.
And, oh, wow. Good for you. Because that's your family background, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I was like, let's also, it's nice to go there and like take work for people to do rather than just go there and be like, going to go swimming.
Yes, hire. Please make it better for all. Outside of what we talked about, Aquini coming to television for an 8-episode run and Champion we'll be able to see in January, are there any other projects that you're working on that you want to share with us before we let you go?
I'm starting a new novel, and then who knows, I'm going to have a break for a little bit. But I'll never have a break for that long. But we have, the next novel is going to be really good. I can say that because and then I'd like to write horror one day. Like that is a thing that I think I will do next after the books. And I have an essay collection coming. I saw my editor today for lunch, and she said she's already let the legal team know that that novel is coming and that they will have to do a lot of work. And I was like, good. Great.
That's great. Good for you, Candace. I'm really excited for your adventure, and I'm excited to see all that you do next.
Thank you.
I ask this question. Anyone who is writing or feel as if they have so much great work sitting in the drawers or somewhere under the bed, maybe in someone like they have a writer's cabin room, if you will, and it's just sitting there because they're tired of rejection. Any advice you can give to those people?
I would say keep on writing. One of the things that I wish I'd done when I kind of wanted to, when I first realized that I wanted to write, I wish I'd had more work to show for it. I think there is something really beautiful about having a body of work, about like also being your own sort of personal archivist and making sure that your work, even if it's like small poems, if it's little essays, you put them somewhere important. You either write them down, put them in a folder, or you make a little book for yourself so you can look at your work and see what you've done. I think that when it comes to writing, it's so easy to be like, oh, I'm not published, so I'm not really a writer. But it's like, if you are writing, in so many circumstances, the systems are against us. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. I think that being an author, being a writer, you kind of, if you have an easy run of it, it's because you fall into the pocket or the bracket of like what publishers or editors are looking for. And if you don't, then you're kind of left to maybe think that you're not good enough. But everyone has a story to tell, I think. And I think everyone's story is just as important as the other, whether or not you get paid loads for it or you don't get paid at all. So I would say that if you write, you're a writer. You don't have to be published. But
yeah,
you know, that's how I
If you write, you are a writer. You don't have to be published. Candace, thank you so much for all of your wisdom, being so kind and unapologetic, and being unafraid. That's what I think I'll call this podcast. Unafraid.
Wild.
Again, if you guys want to support, you can listen to or download all of Candace's books, or you can go out and buy them. Or you can go to CandaceCarterWilliams.com. She has her own website. This is for folks who are really interested in finding out more about this woman who really blew up the scene in a lot of ways. Last but not least, y'all, It's getting cold, which I'm doing for the holidays. If someone could just tag me into some sort of response and let me know what y'all got going on for the holidays. Are you traveling? I want to do a podcast on what to do for the holidays outside of sit with your family and be mad at them. I hope everybody has a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.